Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson from Torah Life Ministries, and I get on a radio station here each week, and I discuss topics the average Christian might not teach, and today is going to be no difference. The website is TorahLifeMinistries.org, and I like to start off each program letting people know about Torah Life. Torah Life. You see, most Christians hear the word Torah, and they don't understand that Torah is not a Jewish thing. Torah is a Bible thing. It's a Yahweh thing. It's a thing about Creator. Torah means guidelines and instructions. It doesn't mean law. And the scripture I'm going to be talking about today, Matthew 5:17, is a perfect example where the word is used and misunderstood. But before we even get into that scripture, we have to understand again. The Torah means the guidelines and instructions of our Creator that were never meant to be done away with. And for example, we look at the average Christian might call them the Ten Commandments. So the average Christian will say the Ten Commandments, and I believe, being a Bible student and a follower of Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, that we should do our best to keep the Ten Commandments. And even beyond that, there's many more commandments than 10. Now, not all the commandments that are written in the Bible apply to us today, but the ones that do, we should have a desire to fulfill them. And the only way we're going to know which ones they are is not by emailing somebody or calling. No, look in the Bible. You know, if you're a Christian, you should have a Bible. And the Bible tells us all of the commandments or all of the Torah, the guidelines and instructions. And a popular question I often get is, of those commandments, guidelines, and instructions, which ones are applicable to us today? Which ones should we be keeping or fulfilling? And the answer is every single one that we can. And I don't mean that we're able to. I mean that we can try to accomplish. For example, certainly honoring the mother and father, not stealing, not cursing. These things, we have every opportunity and are able to do these things. So now if we come up short but our desire is there, that's where mercy and grace comes in. But if we don't say, well, we can't do that, so we're not going to try. No, effort is what it's about. And we have the opportunity to keep the majority of the commandments that are applicable to us today, but certainly the Ten Commandments. Now, if you go to the average Christian, you say, do you keep the Ten Commandments? They say, well, we're not perfect. There was only one who was perfect, and that was Yeshua, the one they called Jesus. And I say, hallelujah, exactly. Only he was perfect. But I'll tell you, if you think keeping 10 of over 600 commandments is perfect, you need to go back to school and take some math. That is such a little percentage of the guidelines and instructions. 10, the 10, probably the 10 easiest commandments to keep are summed up in the Ten Commandments. When you look at your Bible, the original covenant, also called the Old Testament, guess what, folks? There was, you know, if there were only those Ten Commandments in the Bible, do you know how small your Bible would be? There's so many more commandments other than just 10 that many people are told there are 10. And most Christians, for the most part, won't even follow those 10. They'll dummy them down to 2, and then they'll dummy them down to 1. And by no means am I against Christians or Christianity. As a matter of fact, I'm a believer of Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. But I want people to stop being deceived to think that there are only 10 commandments, and because we're imperfect humans who sinned, we can't keep that. First of all, there are many more than 10 things that our Creator wants us to do, and He would never ask us to do something that we didn't have the capability of fulfilling. And He does look at our heart, and He does see our desire. And is our desire to fulfill the guidelines and instructions and His will for us, or is our desire to make an excuse to keep living in sin? You know, we need to be thankful for Yeshua, not as an excuse to keep living in sin, but thankful to Yeshua that we have the understanding, the opportunity, and the power to overcome these sinful things of not keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Now, there is only one perfect one, Yeshua, the Messiah. However, don't sell yourself short, folks. Do not think that you can't fulfill these guidelines and instructions. Now, many Christians are taught that the Old Testament or the old law is done away with and is a new law. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says that. And that just proves to me many people are misinformed and deceived. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that there's no more Old Testament law, and now we have a New Testament law. First of all, I discussed on the show previously about the word law. There's man-made law versus our Creator's guidelines and instructions. And many times those get mixed up. But when it comes to our commandments, nowhere does it say, well, you know, get rid of the Old Testament because we have a New Testament, new commandments. No. As a matter of fact, we look at a great example in the book of Timothy where it says, all scripture is profitable for man. And you know, when that scripture was written, there was no renewed covenant. They were looking at the Old Testament. Everything in the original covenant, the Old Testament, is profitable to man. So why would you or our Creator say, well, let's get away, let's do it away with it? Things that are profitable are usually good for us, right? They profit us, they help us. So why would we desire to get rid of something that is so helpful to us that came from our Creator? We don't desire to get rid of it. It's so important in Scripture. It says in Jeremiah that we are to take this original covenant off paper, off stone, and it should go onto our hearts. So we would know it by heart. It didn't say change it and it go on our heart. No, it said that it would come on our hearts so we know it and we live it by heart. Live it so much so we don't even need to teach our fellow brother and sister because we'd all know it. That's His desire for us. And we got to study it and learn it. And He will put it on us. You know, He will give us the spirit to understand these things. But we need to stop making excuses to think, well, Yeshua died so we could live in sin. Because that's what our actions are saying when we say we no longer need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. So nowhere in the Bible does it say we are no longer to follow the commandments of our Creator. And I'll give you an example here where it says Matthew 5:17. Because this is a scripture that many Christians often mess up. And I have two translations versions that I'm looking at that I'm going to read this from. One of them is the standard New International. Not the Nearly Inspired version. The version I have here is I don't know which one I have. It's one of the common ones out. New Living Testament I have. So the New Living Testament, Matthew 5:17 says, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth. And so we're going to go Matthew 5:17 to 5:20. I tell you the truth. Heaven and earth disappear. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So that was Matthew 5:17 to 20. And this scripture is a scripture Christians often use to say, we're no longer under the law. But that's not what Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, says there. In fact, He tells us we must do and keep the law. It's not done away with. Until heaven and earth pass, not even the smallest part of our Creator's commandments, guidelines, and instructions is done away with. Last I've seen, heaven and earth, we're still here, folks. Things are still around. And this is amazing when you look at this translation, because this is a typical translation. Now I'm going to look at a Hebraic Roots Bible and read the translation in more of a correct context. But no matter what translation you look at, if you understand Scripture and you understand what it's saying, this Matthew 5:17-20 proves that the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the commandments, often referred to as the law, often misunderstood or taught as the law that's done away with, and in fact is not done away with. But even in this translation here, it talks about these being moral laws and guidelines, and the translators of this secular standard Bible even go on to say, these moral laws reveal the nature and the will of God and still applies today. And it says Yeshua or Jesus obeyed the moral law completely. So it still applies today. It's funny that they say this, and many Christians might say this, because a Christian told me the other day, well, I believe in keeping the commandments of our Creator. I say, oh yeah, how's that fourth one working out for you? You see, you can't change. If you want to change the commandments or pick and choose the ones you like and not pick the others, that's called New Age. You know, there's something out there today called Chrislam. You know what Chrislam is, folks? This is something that Rick Warren is promoting, the author of one of those popular Christian books out there, Purpose-Driven Life, that's it, by Rick Warren. So it's called Chrislam. It's taking the best of all these different religions, or not even the best, taking what people like out of all these different religions, or what's most popular out of all these different religions, and getting rid of the rest. So now they've mixed their favorite parts of Christianity, according to the flesh, that appease the flesh, and their favorite parts of Islam that appease the flesh, and they mix in there a whole bunch of all these other different types of belief systems out there, the parts that appease the flesh the most, and they call it Chrislam. And this is what you have the majority of mega churches preaching today. Whether they call it that or not, in their own actions, that's what they are preaching. You cannot pick and choose. If you pick and choose what you decide to do according to your flesh, according to what you think is best, welcome to the New Age movement, folks. That's what it is. The scriptures are very clear. You know, there's no picking and choosing. As Creator says, if you keep and follow my guidelines and instructions, all my guidelines and instructions says, do not add or take away, but keep. So in Deuteronomy, it says that. So I want you to highlight and underline, but keep. Do not add or take away, but keep my guidelines and instructions. And that's what we're called to do, folks. We're called to keep them. So now we look at a more appropriate translation of this in a Hebraic roots translation of the scripture. And it says, Matthew 5:17-20, do not think that I come to annul the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to annul, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until the heaven and the earth pass away, in no way shall one yod or one stroke pass away from the Torah until all comes to pass. Therefore, whoever loosens one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the worst in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, if your righteousness shall not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Never. So here's what the scriptures are saying, that the guidelines and instructions, in fact, are not done away with. Yeshua did not yet fill all of these, and these laws, guidelines, and instructions, whatever you want to call them, are still applicable to us today. And here is what Yeshua's message was. Yeshua, the Messiah, the one we follow, the one we call King. Here's what his message was. His message was, and it was summed up there in Matthew 5:20, for I say to you, your righteousness needs to exceed of the Pharisees and the sages. Now, the Pharisees and the sages, they were keeping the guidelines and instructions. And they were doing a wonderful job at keeping the guidelines and instructions. The problem is, when Deuteronomy says do not add or take away, but keep the guidelines and instructions, they were adding to it. They were adding to the guidelines and instructions, and that was a no-no according to Scripture. Now, the church today is taking away from the guidelines and instructions. So you have two big issues. But it doesn't say do not add or take away, but keep the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful Creator. So how can your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the sages and the Pharisees who are keeping the guidelines and instructions perfectly? Well, it's right there. They overdid it by adding to it and making it harder for the people and teaching the people to do something even harder. And they did it in a prideful manner. We're taught and told by Yeshua to keep these guidelines and instructions, not adding it, not making it harder for people, but making it easier for people and doing it in a humble way. The scriptures call us to love mercy. That's what they call us to do. And we have been forgiven of our terrible sin and set free from death row by the death of Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. And for us to extend that to our fellow brothers and sisters who have not yet come to a place to understand these guidelines and instructions and pray with them and teach them and disciple them and show them that this is the way. So we cannot be prideful like the Pharisees and sages in saying, well, we keep it all, we do it all, and we do it all perfectly. No, we need to slow down. We need to realize that a heart has to be given behind this this message. So it's not just about doing the law. It's not about doing the guidelines and instructions. It's not about keeping them. Because it goes and it says in the scriptures, get away from me. I did not know you. And they said, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these things? Get away from me. I did not know you. It's the attitude behind it. So it's not only the action, but it's the attitude. And these are two things that must go hand in hand that so many people miss. You need the attitude of Yeshua in fulfilling the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, not the attitude of Yeshua in breaking the Torah, and not the attitude of the sages and the Pharisees in pride in keeping the guidelines and instructions and adding to it and making it harder for people. No, but to do it perfectly according to the way Yeshua taught. And that's what he spent his whole ministry on, is how to fulfill the guidelines and structure, but even more important, with the attitude of how to do it. Yeshua didn't come with a big list like Moses of the Ten Commandments that these are the ones you to keep. No, he did say, my Father sent me to do the work of my Father, but and you follow his ways. But Yeshua said, here is it. I am rebuking the sages and the Pharisees, not because they're not keeping the guidelines and instructions, but it's their attitude about how they're keeping it. It's their prideful attitude of what they're doing, and it's their hypocrisy. So we not just keep the guidelines and instructions, we need to keep it with the right attitude, and that's what Yeshua was teaching, to love mercy, to love mercy. He says he doesn't want our sacrifices. He wants us to love mercy. And when he says, we have to understand the whole idea of what Yeshua was teaching and how and why he was teaching it. And the church has gotten away today and strayed big time, and that is the problem. The church today is just completely off base, because here it says not only whoever does not do these things, it says whoever does teach people not to do these things shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Shall be called to teach people to live against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. It's pretty much a death sentence. That's what the Bible says. If somebody's teaching, especially the little ones, against the word of our Creator, that's the worst thing somebody can do. We're called in Scripture to teach our children every single day, to wear it on our hearts, to teach the children the Torah. Let me ask most Christians that are listening right now, how many of you every single day teach your children the Torah? Okay, some of you might be listening and saying, well, we're not Jewish. Okay, I'll say this then. Let's call it guidelines and instructions based on the first five books of the Bible. Not based on what Rick Warren or Joel Osteen said on TV. Based on the first five books of the Bible that are not done away with, according to Matthew 5:17 to 5:20 that we just discussed. How many of you that have children and call yourself Christians wake up in the morning or at any point in the day that's convenient for you, sit next to your child and teach them the guidelines and instructions of our Creator based on the Old Testament? Or how many of you teach them, we no longer need to follow that or read that or do that, because we have a New Testament or a new book? And how many of you are leading them astray? And how many pastors might be listening to this today, or church leaders might be listening to this today that also do the same thing, teaching that the Old Covenant or the Old Testament is done away with, we have a New Testament now? How many of you are teaching that it's okay to celebrate things like Easter and Christmas and Halloween, but you don't celebrate things like Passover and Shavuot and Tabernacles that the Bible commands us to keep? That was never given just to the Jewish people only. It was given to Israel. And some of you might say, well, that's Israel. And I tell you, guess what? Who Israel is? Israel is the multitude of the community of the people that accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. Those that said and accept Yeshua as the Messiah, they are Israel. If you call yourself a believer in Yeshua, you now become Israel, and you are now responsible to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, known as the Torah. And if you don't, that's what sin is. According to 1 John, living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, you have that choice and you have that opportunity. You're no longer a Gentile once you accept Yeshua. And if you think you are, guess what? Gentile means heathen. It means non-believer. How could you be a believing non-believer? Once you accept Yeshua and you become a so-called believer, you are now Israel. And because you are Israel, you have to fulfill everything the Bible says Israel should fulfill. And that is the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Look, when the children of Israel were going to the Promised Land, when they left Egypt, it wasn't just people from the tribe of Judah. It was all of Israel, and you had a whole bunch of people from Egypt, all the Egyptians that came over also. And when the Israelis and the Israelites were in the desert, keeping the guideline instructions of our Creator, you didn't have the Egyptians and everyone else that came from all over the world sitting there looking at them saying, well, we don't have to do that. No. If they wanted to be part of the camp, they had to follow the rules. And as the camp of believers, we have a set of rules to follow. And they're given to us in the Bible, in the first five books of the Bible. And we are called to follow these commandments and to keep them as believers. And that's what we need to do, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. So why do so many pastors and preachers and teachers teach the old covenant is done away with? Things like the Sabbath we no longer need to keep. Things like the feast days that we no longer need to do. Why is so many churches out there teaching something different? And I can't tell you the heart of different places and why different places are teaching different things. But I can tell you the more somebody teaches about pleasing the flesh, the bigger church they're going to have, the bigger congregation they're going to have. And the more people teach the truth, the smaller it's going to be. And our pride and our flesh loves crowds, and we love big people that give big money and everything else. So each of us have our own different reasons why we might not be teaching the truth. Some of us might just be deceived. But I know a pastor who had a congregation of 5,000 people, and he learned the truth, and he started teaching the truth, and now he has 500 people. How many pastors and preachers are you know that would be willing to go from 5,000 to 500? Put your action where your words are. If you're listening right now and you have a congregation that's significantly bigger and you're more worried about losing them than teaching the true words of our Creator, you need to check yourself and realize that you're not measuring up to what the Scriptures say. And you're just as responsible and guilty as those sages and Pharisees that Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, came to rebuke. James 4:17 says, to know good and not do it, to him it is sin. So before you heard this message today by myself, maybe you didn't know better. Maybe you thought that's what had to be done. But now you've heard this, so now what are you going to do? The Scriptures say, today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. In the Scriptures, when the people were presented with that question, it seemed like a very simple answer. But what did they answer? Not a word. Not a word. Well, I present that question to all of you today. I tell you, the Bible is a book of opposites. Good versus evil, blessings versus curses, and life versus death. And today I put before you life versus death. Choose one so you may live. We have to understand, folks, there's no neutrality with our Creator. You're either for Him or against Him. There's no middle ground. And if you're against Him, or if you think you're neutral, then you're against Him. So we need to make the right choice, and we need to understand the Scriptures promise us a future and a hope. Promises us a more excellent way, promises us a way out. But what do people feel today? They feel confused, they feel deceived, and they feel trapped. And what does the enemy do? He lies, kills, and destroys. And we got to see whose side are we on. Do we want to be a follower of Yeshua, the Savior who died for us, and tell people about that, and glorify Him, and be the salt and the light to the world, and go out there and make disciples, and experience the abundant blessings that He has waiting for us in the kingdom? Or do we want to worry about our fleshly desires here on earth? How much money we have? How many followers we have? Or how big our building is where we're teaching these followers? We have an opportunity today to do something that's been presented to believers from all over the world forever. And that is to go to proclaim the gospel in our actions according to the word of Scripture. Not according to the deceivers, the men out there. I believe Yeshua was back then. They were saying he wasn't doing enough, and the Sadducees and Pharisees desired to have him killed. Well, I believe today if he was around, the church would call him a legalist. They would say he's doing too much. And I tell you, it's not about doing too much or too little. It's about doing what we're called to do, and the Scriptures say it. Do not add or take away, but keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And they're not too difficult to do. They're not difficult to do. That's the amazing thing. Because he says, my commandments shall not be burdensome to those who love me. Over and over again in the Scriptures, it talks about this. It talks about the blessings that come along, not only to us, but also to the land. But then it also talks about the curses that come along for those of you that do not follow. When we were taken out of Canaan and in Egypt, it says, do not follow the ways of the Canaanites. Do not follow the way of the Egyptians. It says, you know, you need to follow the new way and destroy all those things. All those things that are unclean. Destroy them. When his children crossed over the promised land, they didn't listen to our Creator. And they paid the consequences for it. And we're still paying consequences today. Here's what it comes down to first. The first sin of man was not about eating some apple. The first sin of man was about not listening to our Creator and following instructions. And Adam and Eve suffered tremendously for that. And we have a great opportunity to obey our Creator today. Or we could choose to disobey Him. The major sin, the only sin, is disobedience to our Creator. That's what sin is. So, if you want to be obedient to our Creator, you know how the scriptures say the Old Testament is a schoolmaster to teach us right from wrong? Well, guess what? If you don't know right from wrong, you don't know if you're doing wrong. And I'll tell you, there's many Christians out there that think they're doing things that are right, but they're doing things that are wrong according to the scripture. They're living in sin. And if you think you're not one of them, do you keep the Sabbath on Saturday? No, it was changed to Sunday. Not in my Bible, it wasn't. It was changed by Constantine, who wanted to destroy people for following the word of our Creator. Just do a little history lesson. Go to my website, www.TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can find all of these things out. They're not hidden. It's not difficult. We need to know the truth, and the scriptures say the truth shall set us free, folks. And the truth is Yeshua, our Messiah. We need to follow Him. And you have that choice who you're going to follow. Today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. And I'm calling on you to choose life. It starts with repentance, folks. Repent. Turn your ways. Turn from your ways that go against the scriptures. Repent. And I even have a website called readandrepent.com. Readandrepent.com. We need to repent. And then we need to accept Yeshua. And we need to stop being obedient to His guidelines and instructions. Now don't misunderstand me, folks. We're not saved by works. You know, I tell people that we're saved only by the blood of Yeshua. But we don't keep the guideline instructions to be saved. We keep the guideline instructions because we are saved. Hallelujah. I'll be back next week. Thank you very much for listening. Until then, everybody, shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. This is Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. If it seems like life's getting more and more complex and you don't know where to find the answers, join us each weekend to discover what God says about how to really live. We meet for worship on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 9 and 11 a.m. At the Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.
All these years thought I could do it all, but there's a grace that wouldn't let me fall. I hear your voice, God, I hear your voice, all the things I know now, I wish I knew. I tried so hard, did all I could do. Now I hear your voice, God, I hear your voice. So I'm gonna lift my hands up high, and I won't, and I won't lose sight.
surprise. I found your love.